Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one living in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that he had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it, just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread."
Thanks, Richard, for that lovely reading. Good morning, I'm Trev. And as Amanda said, this is the first in a new sermon series after Easter on resurrection appearances. This morning, as we think about Jesus on the road to Emmaus, I'd like to share what Luke's word tells us about what recognizing Jesus means to our road with Christ, and to ask you if anything keeps you from seeing Jesus. First, though, I'd like to start with a prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of your only Son's sacrifice for us, for the offer you make to us of a rebirth, of our own return from a dead existence. Help us, Father, to see you and to know you are with us as we walk on our road to you. Amen. Well, last Sunday, Easter Sunday, was a landmark for me. Not just a joyous morning here celebrating that Christ is risen, but also 10 Easters since St. Mary's own fresh start and new life in this building. Before that day, 10 years ago, I'd been aware of what walking with Jesus meant to others, and I was curious myself, but I didn't respond. I didn't look further. Walking up the road to church that morning, I started to be aware of a feeling that I wanted to come into God's house regularly and take my own first steps on a road leading onwards. Although it's been a few years since I first stood up and acknowledged I'm a Christian, I've been into geography much longer. True that. I've always loved being out in the landscape, hill walking. And one of the many things in my life that's changed since I made my decision to acknowledge Jesus is that now I can walk with him. I may not have the elbow patches on today, but once a geographer, always a geographer. So inevitably, I've got some landscape slides for you. Can I have the first one, please, Deborah? This unremarkable looking post set in paving slabs on what looks like a bog is on a Welsh upland whose name is anglicised, with apologies to anybody Welsh here, to Plyn Limon. Picture, if you will, a sixth form geography field trip with a coachload of tired, moaning students at the end of an afternoon, being encouraged out of the coach one last time in pouring rain, grey everywhere, being told to look at that view. The rain was too complete for us even to see the post and the unimpressive puddle next to it, and we weren't in the mood to walk from the roadside to the spot, let alone to look further into the dips in the upland that spread out in three directions around us. We weren't impressed, we weren't grateful, and we weren't gracious. Mr. Kingsford, our long-suffering geography teacher, tried to enthuse us without success. Nothing to see here. Back on the coach, back to the youth hostel, with any hope for our imagination clinging on inside Mr. Kingsford, suitably crushed. But what we didn't see or appreciate, despite the best efforts of our teacher, was that that post next to the puddle in a bog marks the source of the majestic River Severn. Could I have the next slide, please, Deborah? And those upland dips would shortly turn into the valleys of the Severn, the Wye, and the Rheidol rivers. Rivers I've come to love and appreciate. Rivers I'd very much love to walk alongside now, with worship music in my headphones, with an attitude of gratitude for creation, and with the Lord walking alongside me. Let's go back to our reading from Luke. The road to Emmaus was about 7 miles long, a decent distance for two disciples to walk home and reflect on the roller coaster of hearing about Jesus, being wildly excited about the coming of the Messiah and the fulfillment of prophecy, where their king would lead them to be to salvation, only to be shocked at his death, and left wondering, despite everything Jesus said and did, whether that hope was real. Where was their king, their Messiah now? Where was their hope? Where indeed? This was just one of the times that the Bible records Jesus not being recognized, of course. Here's another. From John 20, 14 to 15. As Mary Magdalene comes to Jesus' tomb early in the morning. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not recognize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." Why would loyal, faithful Mary of all people not recognize Jesus standing near his tomb? Maybe it was Mary's grief and loss. Maybe the early morning haze obscuring her vision. Jesus asks Mary a seemingly obvious question, making her voice what she was thinking, which gives Jesus the invitation to help her see him. From our passage in Luke, The two disciples also didn't recognize Jesus as they were walking, but this is different. Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. They could have recognized Jesus, but something or someone prevented them. Actually, God stops them from recognizing Jesus. They still had something to learn about his promises. Just because they knew of Jesus didn't mean they knew him. Again, Jesus asks them a possibly unnecessary question. What are you discussing together as you walk along? Crestfallen, their faces downcast, the two explain their seemingly lost hope for the Messiah after his death, that he would be the king to free Israel from oppression, to redeem them. They explained to the stranger that they had heard that Jesus' tomb was found empty and no one could see Jesus. Even that they had heard from the women at the tomb that angels had said Jesus was alive. Yet still, they didn't believe, still craved the proof of seeing his body before they could believe. Again, Jesus' question gives him the invitation to respond to what's in their hearts. He reminds them of what Scripture had said about the destined path for the Messiah, reprimanding them for their lack of belief. How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Talking about not seeing the Lord around us, here's a story you'll have heard before, but I couldn't resist. A storm descends on a small town and the downpour turns into a flood. As the waters rise, a devout man takes refuge on the roof of his house. After a while, one of the townspeople comes up the street in a canoe and says to the man, "Get in, the waters are rising fast." "No," says the man, "I have faith in the Lord. He will save me." The canoeist paddles off. The waters continue to rise, now up to the balcony of the man's house. When another of the townspeople arrives, in a motorboat. "Quick, get in my boat," he says to the man on the roof. "The flood is rising fast." "No," repeats the man, "I have faith in the Lord. He will save me." The boat motors off, away from the flood. Soon, the flood rises right up to the roof of the house where the faithful man is clinging on. Just then, a helicopter appeared. And the pilot lowers a ladder to the man, shouting above the rotors, "Grab the ladder and come up. This is your last chance." Once again, the man says, "No, I have faith. I know the Lord will save me." Shaking his head, the pilot steers the helicopter away. Sure enough, the waters rise even more and the man drowns. When he gets to heaven, the man comes into God's presence. And, confused and angry, he asks the Almighty, "Lord, I had unwavering faith in you. Why didn't you save me?" God shakes his head. "What more did you want from me? I sent you a canoe, a motorboat, and a helicopter, and you still ignored me." Back to Cleopas and the other disciple on the road to Emmaus then. The two disciples hear Jesus' words about the Messiah's destiny, and as the day is ending, invite Jesus into their home. As they eat, Jesus gives thanks, breaks bread, and suddenly their eyes were opened. The penny drops. They'd had a feeling, were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road? But where they were blind, now they see. There was the proof they had craved. They had voiced their loss of hope and belief. Jesus had explained what Scripture had long said about this moment. The disciples invited Jesus in, and Jesus broke bread with them. And suddenly there he was. What's so important then about breaking bread? From the words in our communion service, "For on the night that he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." At the Last Supper, in the evening after the shared walk to Emmaus, and for us today, every time we have the chance to also take bread and do that in remembrance of Jesus' sacrifice for us, breaking bread is an essential offer from Jesus to us. Over 10 years ago, watching others take communion, I'd always understood this is an important offer. Now, it's a key act for me to stand with hands open to receive, to quietly accept Jesus' offer, and to give thanks for his sacrifice. In Luke 11:3, Jesus teaches us what to pray for, doesn't he? "Give us this day our daily bread." So it's not just an important regular act in church in remembrance of Jesus, but our daily bread, the food of life. That night, in the disciples' house in Emmaus, Jesus was revealed in the most basic daily need in our lives. Back to the geography presentation then. Can I have the next slide, please, Deborah? We've heard that even those close to Jesus who believed in him sometimes didn't see him, didn't recognize him. Well, what about us? What gets in the way of our sight of him? What blocks our belief? For me, it can be the atmosphere around me. Rain on Plin Limon, obscuring the beauty of creation. It can be the time not being right. Me not having taken enough steps to understand who Jesus is. It can be me not giving time in a busy life to stop, listen, and read. It can be me not inviting Jesus in. In the past, it was also not having an idea of Jesus grounded in Scripture, where I often leaned on my own understanding. Maybe I also wanted some proof, something sure as I understood it then, before I would step forward. How about for you in your life? Are there also times when you can't or don't see Jesus, don't recognize him, when something gets in the way? How can we remedy that? How can our eyes be opened? Well, our passage gives us the formula, doesn't it? We need to understand that Jesus asks us crucial, basic questions as he joins us on our journey. We need to recognize and voice what's in our hearts, the things that block us, obscure our view. We need to open our hearts to him. We need to dive into this. Get to know Scripture. Find our truth. Find Jesus in here. We need to invite him in. We need to give thanks. Take, eat, and do that in remembrance of him. Take our daily bread from him and with him. And then with our eyes and ears open to him, expect to see him alongside us on the road. Whether it's from a sunrise parting the early morning clouds on the Shropshire Hills, as in this photo, or whether it's the regular act of standing here quietly in reverence and gratitude for Jesus' sacrifice, I have only to open my eyes, and what was obscuring my sight is removed. Last slide, I promise, and no more geography references. From one of my favourite traditional and modern worship songs, Amazing Grace. "I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone. I've been set free. Did I mention he is risen? Finally then, as we open our eyes to see Christ in our lives and feel him with us on our journey, I'd like to leave you with these words from an Irish blessing. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm on your face, the rains fall soft upon your fields, and until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Amen.